sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, everybody. It's a great day. We've got the sunshine out today, right?
The sunshine is out. We've had rain all week long here.
Sort of a little bit breezy still this morning. I don't think that breeze is going to go away till like end of July, beginning of August, when it gets really, really hot. And we pray for the breeze. Let's get right into our show. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Tim Fain, good morning.
Good morning, Becky.
Well, Tim told us last week about how to keep our house clean. Once we get it clean, how to keep it clean. And today we're going to be talking about how to get rid of odors and keeping the odors gone, because you don't smell your own house. Have you ever walked into someone's house and just about fell over from the smell?
That is the first emotional kind of reaction people have to coming inside a house.
You know,
the smell.
And they keep talking about like the curb appeal, the first impression when that front door's opened. Well, the first impression can sometimes not be, it's the odor overshadows the visual impression. So that we're going to talk about that today. I had someone one time, I said, we need to take care of the odor in your house. And they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, well, you don't smell your own odor. Like when you walk in my house, you're probably going to smell something, but it won't be what you smell.
Yeah.
We just need to have it good. He told someone from his Sunday school class to come over and smell the house, and they said it just smelled perfect. And I thought, well, they don't have any guts to tell you the truth.
You want an honest realtor, that's for sure.
It was a sickening smell. And I will tell you, I don't do this very often, but I fired that client. I said, you know, you're expecting me to get top dollar, and people are put off when they walk in your front door by the odor, and you don't smell it. And it was, as my kids call it, old people odor, which is sometimes mothballs, but often urine in old people's houses, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, tell us about that, Tim.
Well, you have odor as an issue in homes, and sometimes we run across, you know, cigarette smoke or cannabis smoke, or, you know, somebody's burnt something in the house. Or the other day I had a skunk that had sprayed a dog, and they had rolled all the way through the house, and so I had to take care of that type of thing. So, you know, none of those, there's odors, and then there's odors, you know, but those negative ones a lot of times are urine related. And we're at a day and time where, you know, I have a nose that it's not super sensitive, but I can differentiate between, you know, different odors. And dog urine has a particular smell, and cat urine has a particular smell that's different than dog.
And how about people?
And human urine has an odor that is different, and I can differentiate between the three. And but they're all an issue, and they're all taken care of in similar fashion. And the rule number one when you take an odor control class to become certified in odor removal is remove the source of the odor. And a lot of times people don't understand that part of it. They come in and they think, you know, well, just carpet cleaning by itself and then that'll take care of it. But you've got the backing of the carpet, you've got an underlaying, the pad itself, and even the absorbent subfloor that can absorb that urine. And until you remove that source of the odor, you've got problems. And so that's your number one step, is remove the source of the odor.
And everyone always goes to carpet to be the source of the odor, of holding that. And many times, very often, that is the case. Mm-hmm. But where else could odors be hiding that you need to get rid of or wash or scrub down something?
They can hike their leg on your curtains, beds, you know, ruffles, that type of thing. They can go along the walls. Cats will spray the walls and the baseboards, and so those need to be cleaned as well. And then a lot of times people say, well, I'm just going to get rid of all the carpet in my house. And I said, but that won't retrain your pet. You know, so you need to understand that just because there's no carpet now, they'll go to a rug if you have a rug because they want someplace soft. But if you don't, they will go on the wood. They will go on the ceramic tile or the laminate, and that can get into the absorbent part of the grout lines and soak in, or into stained concrete, soak in. You know, concrete seems hard, but it's porous. Wood seems hard, but it, you know, it's porous. It's organic matter that breathes and, you know, absorbs moisture and then lets moisture back out. So all of those sources can hold the moisture from urine, and you need to make sure and clean those well.
Well, how about just the pet itself, even if it's not urine? One time we went to, I think it was Costa Rica or somewhere where it was just ocean smell all the time. It was very nice. You stay a week in that, and then you come back home to your closed-up house, and you open the door. And I was appalled at how my own house smelled after not being there. Now, it had been closed up for a week, but it smelled like a dog because we had a great big dog.
Right. And that's a, you know, the main thing that causes odor is bacteria growth. And so if you have a food source for bacteria to grow, the more that bacteria grows, the worse the odor is. In your situation, what you're describing, we call doggy dander. And it is the oils from the coat of an animal that gets on your home, particularly on a rug or on, you know, carpeting, but it can be other things as well. And that oiliness creates a food source for bacteria to grow, and that has a distinct smell as well. So when I try to, you know, ask someone over the phone, does it smell like urine, or does it smell like a wet dog? Does it smell like a, you know, like you're giving your dog a bath, or your dog hasn't been bathed for a while and jumps up in your lap or something? That's usually bacteria growth from the oils that are from the coat of the animal. And
so how do you get rid of that?
You have to clean that, and as we know, oil and water don't mix, so you want something that can break the surface tension, like we talked about last week, of that. If it is a Dawn dish, it's a hard surface like a Dawn dishwashing soap that might break that oil loose and be able to come loose. That's a good thing. On carpet, I recommend just a little bit of a solvent, something that can break down that oil as you're cleaning. If you're using a home machine, just use a good cleaner. And I always say rinse it with a vinegar water to neutralize that pH and try to keep your the residue from your cleaners from reattracting soil faster.
How much vinegar to how much water?
About 10 to 1 is a good ratio, but the truth is it won't hurt if you go heavier than that, but no less than about a 10 to 1 water to vinegar ratio. That's not to clean with, but it's a rinsing aid. And what that does is it helps neutralize the pH. It's vinegar is acetic acid. So pH is on the, I'm sorry, cleaners are on the alkaline side of the scale, and vinegar is on the acidic side. So coming after and rinsing and your higher pH with a lower pH brings that more to neutral so that it doesn't have what we all have heard, that soapy residue when you don't get all the soap out of your hair. It makes it oily or greasy faster. Same thing with cleaning anything else. If you don't not able to rinse that out properly, it's going to get dirty faster.
If you want to join the conversation today, the number is 405-840-1000. When we come back, we'll have Matt McLean, our money man, right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time to our talk to our money man.
NMLS number
1197740.
Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. So I got an email this week about a lender offering 5.65%. So tell me how they can do that.
That's a great question. No, the 5 point, did you say 5.6?
5.685 or something like that.
5.6. Anyway, I think your point is to get that rate, our clients are going to pay a significant amount of what we call discount points to get that rate. The rate's available, but they may have to pay several thousand dollars to get that interest rate. We call that discount points. We call that buying down the rate. And a consumer would pay significantly to get it. Today's market rates are in the high sixes.
Well, can they ask the seller to pay that for them?
They can, absolutely. And depending on which loan product, but yes, sellers can pay up to a certain percentage of buyer closing costs.
Okay, very good. So the going rate's more like in the high sixes right now.
That is exactly right.
Okay.
High sixes on the 30-year loan and low sixes on the 15-year loan.
What do you think about this thing about, I guess, the welfare system of loan mortgages, where they're going to start charging people with good credit and big down payment a premium so that the people with not so much down payment and lesser credit get a better interest rate?
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning that those changes are only applicable to conventional loans. So our government loan products like the FHA, the VA, the USDA loans are not impacted. But yeah, it's a significant change.
Yeah.
The higher credit score clients or borrowers, unfortunately, are going to pay more, and the lower credit score clients are going to pay less.
So right before you apply for your mortgage, be sure and don't pay some payments so your credit score goes down and you can get a better interest rate.
Absolutely not. I would never encourage that. You know, I think the entire industry is just really scratching their heads because it's just so counterintuitive, right?
Right.
Those people that have managed their money well and managed their credit, manage their finances are being penalized.
Well, they're less of a risk for the lender.
Well, so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and someone with a 620 credit score is more of a risk than a 720 credit score, I would think.
That, yeah, before this change, that was the entire purpose of those what we call loan level price adjustments. It was applying a cost to the higher risk categories.
Well, we want you to come back on the radio and let us discuss this at length. So,
yes, would love to. Absolutely.
Yeah, SWBC Mortgage, it's easy to find them. Just go to BeckyIvins.com. On the right-hand tab of that page, you're going to see Becky's favorites, and they're listed there, and there's a link to just click on.
Or you can give them a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. As always, thanks, Matt McLean.
Thank you. Have a good show.
Okay, well, we're trying to have a good show here. I think we are having a good show because we have got Tim Fain from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning, and we are talking about odors and how to get rid of the bad ones and create. Is odor a bad smell, or it? Because when you talk about odor, it always is in a negative sense.
The reason why I never talk about an odor in a positive way, because it has a negative connotation. But an odor is something that our olfactory senses detect. But the truth is, the word itself, we kind of put a negative connotation. So I use fragrance for a positive odor, and a odor for a negative connotation. So I just differentiate that way because I think psychologically we see that differently.
Right. And we're talking about, we asked someone to call in, and
so
we've
if
got
you,
a caller.
Yeah, if you'd like to call in and join the conversations, 405-840-1000, and we have George on the line. Good morning, George.
Good morning, George. Hey, how y'all doing? Good?
We're doing great today.
Okay, we are too. Hey, got a good question for you. We went to an open house on a really, really nice property on the water. Oh, we went last year and we went this year. The problem being with this house, the minute you walk in, you can tell that smokers occupied that residence. And the realtor that was showing it, they had those, oh, I don't know what they call those, odor killer vaporizers or whatever in every room. But still, you could tell that the house was just overwhelmed with smoke. You could see the film on the windows and a little bit on the walls. What would it entail to clean something like that up? It's a beautiful property on a beautiful location, but
well,
it's just a abhorrent smell.
We have been there many times with the property, and I will tell you, if your realtor does not tell you your house doesn't smell pleasant and that you need to do something, you better find another realtor, because that's like telling someone, oh, it's okay if you've got dirty underwear strewn all over your house during the showing, or it's okay if you blast, heavy rock metal music during your showings. No, that's not okay. It's not okay to have your house smell like smoke. So, Tim, what can you do to get rid of that?
Well, tobacco and even cannabis smoke is sticky, and so it'll stick and adhere to different surfaces of the house. So what I tell my customers is, first of all, thoroughly clean the carpet and anything soft that it can get into. But like you mentioned, you also saw some residue on walls or cabinets, and you can clean the walls or you can repaint the walls if it's a sheetrock, with use a Kills product or Bin, B-I-N, and repaint over those. But usually washing down your woodwork, your hard surfaces, cleaning your walls if it's a surface, cleanable surface, with a degreaser of some sort that can break loose that stickiness, is a good thing.
Windows?
Windows is the same thing. Windows are a little slicker surface, so doesn't tend to do that to windows as much. But I can even see it a lot of times on your hard floors where they've smoked a lot and it has kind of a brownish tint to it. The nicotine does. So you do that, and then in worst case scenarios, if you still have an odor smell, a commercial ozone generator to come in, work it for 3 days, run your HVAC system with it going through your HVAC into all of the rooms of the house. What that does is actually replaces all of the oxygen, and anything that holds oxygen in your home replaces it with pure ozone, which eliminates the smoke odor that's trapped in those oxygen molecules.
But you cannot live there while an ozone machine is running.
That's correct. They make residential versions that aren't nearly so strong, but they also don't do the job that, you know, they'll do a light job. But the stuff that we rent out to our customers, I put signs on the door and no one's allowed to enter. And you have to remove pets and living plants because it removes all the oxygen from the home. Anything that has to have oxygen to live cannot be in there. And 3 days, 2 to 3 days is the optimum time for that to run. So,
yeah, and boy, can you imagine what their lungs look like? They get that sticky stuff in there too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but I have found that what people don't clean sometimes is like their blinds. Mm. And not just the hard surface part of the blinds, but the cords of those blinds. If they've smoked a lot, you can literally go up and sniff them, and they are bad. And curtains, bedspreads.
Right.
You know, I had a house that somewhat we needed to sell it. And the people that lived there were as crisp and clean as anybody that you have ever met in your life. And yet they had a smell problem in their house. We're going to talk more to Tim Fain after we take our break.
George, thanks for calling in. That was a great question. We'll be back right after this news break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Tim Fain from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning. And it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, we've been talking about ozone, so let's have ozone be our word of the day. Tim, what is ozone? We're talking about it being able to replace oxygen and remove odor that way.
Ozone is a gas, and it actually, when it bonds to the oxygen, which is an O2, it's an O3 and adds one more atom of oxygen to the process. And what it actually does is scrubs the or converts the O2 over to O3, and it has a oxidizing property to it, like bleach kills odor because it oxidizes the odor. Well, the ozone does the same thing in attaching itself to the O2, converting it over to pure ozone, which is, you know, the O3. That's why it kind of smells like a inside swimming pool. You know, we've all been to the YMCA, and you walk in and you're like, smells like a swimming pool in here. When you're done running ozone, it kind of smells like you're at a inside YMCA.
Well, and, you know, I looked up the definition of ozone, and it says it's a colorless, unstable, toxic gas with a pungent odor and powerful oxidizing properties. So that pretty well describes it too, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the pungent part, I'm not sure I get. But, you know, I've had a few customers say, well, gosh, now what do I do? You know, it has a half-life. And so when you run ozone, as long as you turn it off after a while, even though you can still smell it a little bit, it will dissipate and continue to go away. But believe me, a little bit of a chlorine smell is far better than what we're trying to get rid of. So,
for sure.
But it's also an indication that that when you when it's too strong, don't enter a house until that's dissipated a little bit. You open your doors and windows after you've been running a commercial ozone and let that air out. But what it does is it replaces all the oxygen, anything soft or absorbent, like clothing, bedspreads, even sheetrock in your walls, anything that can hold oxygen can hold an odor. And so when you run ozone through it and you replace those contaminated oxygen or air molecules with pure ozone, it removes that from your clothing and that type of thing as well. So.
Is there such a thing as an ozone candle?
No.
Okay. How are candles at, because a lot of people use candles, they use those little scentsy things that are like wax, melted wax that put off a fragrance.
We call those masking agents. And it's a masking agent because what you're trying to do is overload the environment with a different smell than what the negative smell is that you're smelling. So I always tell people, I know how bad the odor problem is by judging how many plug-ins that they have in the walls with fragrances going, or how many candles are burning. All you're doing is covering that up, but you get kind of a sickening vanilla smell or whatever the fragrance is that you have mixed with whatever it is you're trying to cover up. That it's really not a good thing. I tell people, pull all of those out and then let that settle down, and then you'll know what the home really smells like. But masking, it's kind of like if you're hot and sweaty and been working in the yard all day and you've got sweaty clothes and undershirt and all of that, and all you do is come in and squirt a little bit of cheap perfume on yourself, it's not going to take care of the problem. You've got to wash those clothes, take a shower, remove the source of that odor, put fresh clothes on, and then you can apply a fragrance that you enjoy. But masking the problem is not a solution. So a lot of times people tell me in the carpet cleaning industry, how much to put a deodorizer down? And I said, I don't do that because it's not ethical. It's what you're asking or wanting me to do is to get rid of an odor, but people that come in and charge you just to put a masking agent down to make it smell like new car smell or whatever fragrance that you choose, it's not solving your problem. Within a few hours or a few days even, your odor's back and never went anywhere, and you paid your money for nothing.
So when an odor goes into the subfloor, like you talked about, into the subfloor, like you can soak into the concrete, right, and that underneath, how do you get it out of that?
We have five levels of odor removal, and level five, the top level, is subfloor extraction. And we take very hot water, we mix oxidizers, which destroys odor, odor pairing agents, which also destroys odor, and enzymes, which dissolve the uric salts and the crystals that are sticky, that are hanging down into that concrete or into the backing of the carpet. We saturate that area with this concoction. We give it 30 to 45 minutes dwell time for it to liquefy those uric salt crystals that stay down in there. Then we use a flood extraction tool to extract all of that old urine and things that create a bacteria source that cause more odor. You know, those sticky salts are what really get you. If you notice the humidity that we're having, your odors in your home are worse. It's because those salt crystals are drawing the humidity out of the air, and it's mixing with the salt, creating the perfect balance for bacteria growth to accelerate. And that's the reason why some days your urine odor is worse, and some days you're like, oh, well, gosh, there's hardly any problem. It's getting better. It's always the same problem, but you notice it more on hot or humid days where that salt has been able to draw that humidity from the air. Sometimes people say, well, I cleaned the carpet, or I had it cleaned, and now it's worse. Well, because you've introduced moisture into the environment without removing those salt crystals, and now you've just created a bigger issue.
Wow, there's a lot to this. How do you learn all this, Tim?
Well, I continually pursue continuing education, because there's always new products and cutting edge things out there. So I probably attend 4 to 6 national events a year where I go and spend a week learning new techniques, new products. I am a master textile cleaner, one of just a couple in the entire state of Oklahoma. That's the top level of training and education available in our industry. One of those categories is odor control technician, and we focus on, when I went into business, I knew that there were two reasons to give me an advantage over my competition. People call if they have a difficult spot or stain that you can't remove, so become an expert in that. People call when they have a bad odor that they can't get rid of, become an expert in that. And so those are the two areas of expertise that I've really focused on.
Yeah, but you don't neglect the rest of it.
Just no, absolutely.
Regular carpet cleaning, too.
Absolutely. And wood floor cleaning. Just came back from Nashville a couple of months ago from a course on some new techniques on cleaning wood floor and even luxury vinyl plank thing, because you're starting to see a lot more of that come out.
So you have to continually keep up on your education.
Absolutely.
So with the subflooring part of it, do you have to take up the floor with it? Or
the old school method, that's one way. If somebody was doing it themselves, I would tell them pull back the carpet, cut out the pad and replace the part of the contaminated pad, clean and scrub the floor with a bleach water, preferably vinegar first and then a bleach water to kill it, then seal the concrete floor, put new pad down and that type of thing. With my technology, with the way it can go, I can detect the urine with a urine probe and a high-powered black light, find where the problem is from the top surface, and then have the ability to pour the enzymes down through and recover that to not have to go through the process. But in the old day, that was the only way you could do it, is pull up the carpet, remove the pad. Still one way to do it. It's just not nearly as efficient as what we're able to do now.
And kind of the same thing on the wood-based flooring of the conventional wood floor, where, you know, you don't have concrete under it. You've got wood.
Right.
And wood seems to be more porous than concrete.
Yeah.
I don't know if it really is or not, actually.
It is, but you know, it could. I would say it was more absorbent, but they put finishes on your polyurethane or waxes that are meant to repel that. But it can get down between, and, you know, that's the one thing, is that because you have hard surfaces in your floor, doesn't retrain your pet. They'll still go on the hard surface, and unfortunately, a lot of times it's a rug, and underneath that rug is a wood floor. When you lift that up and the wood floor has gotten dark or even black, a lot of times not even full sanding can take care of that. So you want to be proactive on making sure that you're checking those things, cleaning them up properly before you're replacing your wood floor.
I remember I was out with you, Tim, in a house. I had a particular odor. We walked in, and you turned and asked the owner that was there, you have, and then you name the dog, the kind of dog they had.
It's probably a Cocker Spaniel, because they have a distinct smell.
I think in this particular case, it was a lab. And when you have that overwhelming doggy dander smell, dogs that are meant to go into the water and retrieve things have a very oily coat, like a Labrador Retriever, those slick-haired and dogs that are meant to retrieve, and so they have a lot of oil to repel the water when they're swimming out to get game fowl. And so in that situation, when it's really strong, it's usually a Labrador Retriever or something with a very oily coat.
I had never thought about, like, the type of dog having the oily, but if they're in the water, it makes sense. That's what they're, you know,
what they're made to do.
Bred to do, and so it has that oily thing. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls and talking more with Tim Fain here with Exceptional Carpet Cleaning on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and in Yukon on Route 66. Becky, what's our Smoking Hot Deal?
Well, it's near that Route 66, Casa Perico, so when you go show that property, be sure and stop and get yourself a delicious Mexican food. It is in the very sought-after Stone Mill edition, and it is on 420 Cedarburg Court. It's, I think, 3565 square feet, something like that.
Yep.
But it's on a double lot. Those are pretty big lots anyway. It's not acreage, but it is a very roomy lot, and it's got a nice swimming pool, big swimming pool in the back. It's going to be open tomorrow. So at 420 Cedarburg in Stone Mill, come out between 2 and 4 and just look and say hi.
There you go. We've been talking a lot about cannabis. So it's 420 Cedarburg.
Oh,
right there. Four bedrooms, three baths, and our agent, Chris, will be at there with open house.
And I'm sure that the owner of that house probably will not appreciate the 420 reference. However, it is at 420 Cedarburg.
That's the address.
Okay. Well, we are here with Tim Fain of Exceptional Carpet Cleaning. Tim is one of our favorites. So if you go to BeckyIvins.com and just look at the tab that says Becky's Favorites, you can find his contact information there. And I'll tell you, I know you're an expert and you do a lot of big jobs, but do you ever do small jobs?
We obviously have minimums, you know, that we have to live up to, but we do, we don't discriminate. We have large homes and we have small homes. We appreciate all of them. So we'll do small condominiums and rarely apartments, but small condominiums and smaller homes as we're all downsizing as we're getting older. But so we do a lot of those things too, not just the larger jobs. So.
Well, and I mean, recently you did just one room for me.
Yeah.
We had a spill in a room and you came over and cleaned it up and saved our seller a lot of money because they would have had to replace everything.
I once did a small rust removal on a home that had sold and they were about to do the walkthrough when they moved their furniture. It was about the size of a quarter. And I told the lady, I said, I unfortunately do have a minimum to come out there. She said, I don't need this thing to fall through. I'll pay it. I came out and 2 minutes later I walked away.
Yeah, but it's not, your minimum is not.
It's not
like 20 cents or anything like that, but it certainly is not hundreds of dollars either.
No, it's not crazy. Depending on where you're located, it's $135 to $150. So.
Yeah. So, okay. Tell us what else you clean and what might, just some home remedies. That's what I would like our listeners to hear is something that you don't have to call a professional for, but if you do call a professional, things that you absolutely should call a professional on and things you can take care of yourself and how to do it.
The more expensive something is or more delicate something is, you want to call a professional. Things like upholstery, wool rugs or silk rugs, even viscose rugs. You want to call a professional before you attempt it, unless you've got something like microfiber or something that's easy to clean. You don't want to risk doing damage to those things. Most of it is maintenance. And so your products will last longer and look better longer as you maintain it. So I tell people on luxury vinyl plank or ceramic tile, just mop them with a microfiber mop head and a neutral floor cleaner. You can get that at big box stores in the janitorial area. It doesn't have a residue, not going to leave a haze. You can even use it for wood floors and mist it on, mop it off. When you get eventually get a greasy buildup in the kitchen on your hard surface, put one cap full of non-sudsing ammonia in a gallon of hot water and mop it to cut that grease, and then mop it with fresh water after that. Doesn't take a lot. People sometimes think, well, one cap full, how about if I pour a cup? You don't want to leave a residue. So that's the reason why I say just a cup full, just enough ammonia to cut the grease and oil around a kitchen area where you're going to get grease and that type of thing. Use that vacuum carpet frequently. If you have a pet spill, blot it up. Take a cup of hot water, pour it on that spot. Blot what you can up with that, and then put a dry white towel over the top of that with something heavy, a book or a weight. Leave it for 24 hours and let that urine wick up into that towel instead of wick up into the ends of the fibers. So those are things you do on a maintenance type basis. And people say, well, what about those home carpet cleaning machines? I said, well, they're okay for cleaning up spots and spills or cleaning a little traffic area that you show. Do away with the store-bought cleaners that come with them because they have a residue with them. Just use a mild cleaner, go over with that and rinse it with that 10-to-1 vinegar water in your solution tank or your little home machine, and do those in between. But you really should have your carpet professionally cleaned every year because it's what maintains your carpet's warranty, and it's been proven to make your carpet last exponentially longer along with frequent vacuuming.
Well, you speak of vacuuming regularly. Now, when I vacuum, and it has been years since I've vacuumed, but when I vacuum, I cannot do a little bit. I have to use the crevice tool and get everywhere. I want every detail taken care of. But can you vacuum too often? Because Mr. Will Ivins, now Lieutenant Colonel Will Ivins, was our vacuumer for years. He came home from school. His very first job was to vacuum the traffic areas in our house every single day. Now, not the whole carpet, but right, just the traffic areas in the living areas of our house. Now, we had a lot of traffic in and out of our house, so that helped us a lot. Yeah. But is that vacuuming too much?
No, there's no such thing as vacuuming too much unless you have a vacuum that can actually damage the fiber. I think, to my knowledge, the Dyson pet vacuum actually voids warranties on some carpet, so you want to be careful with a vacuum like that. But upright vacuum with a beater bar, the roller bar that goes around, vacuuming once or twice a day, you're not going to hurt anything as long as the vacuum doesn't damage it.
Jerry, we got Jerry on the line. We got just a few seconds for a great question. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. What about hot mops? They say not to use anything but just water, or can you add something to it?
If you're using, yeah, you can use a neutral floor cleaner in those.
When he says neutral, he means pH, and we're out of time.
That's it. If you want to just find Tim Fain, go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites. He'll be right there. Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.